Called the foundation for faith. We're going to be talking about faith. We've done it for 3 weeks. This is the third week. Last week we didn't, but this is the third week. And it comes out of, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from one place. It comes from the word of God. Faith is not natural. It's supernatural. Now, there are some things that faith will produce in the natural that are not eternal, but only God's faith will produce in the supernatural. It will only produce eternity. And it only comes from the Word of God. It's not secular and spiritual. It is the Word of God that makes a difference. When I got a hold of what is called the message of faith, it absolutely changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. In fact, you're saved by faith, you're delivered by faith, you're healed by faith, you're filled by faith. Every contact that you have with God is by faith. The Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. There's only one way I know that you can please God, and that's by faith. You cannot please Him with your good works. Your good works do not please God. Okay? I mean, if you're trying to please God, well, I'm going to go out and please God. No, that doesn't please God. It's your faith that pleases God. Works that come out of faith please God. But works with themselves merit you nothing. Okay? We're not in a merit system with God. We're in a love relationship where faith is involved. We talked about the first week several laws that I'm going to mention at least one or two of those. Now, the one was called the law of entropy, which means things left unattended tend towards chaos. Remember me talking about my yard? I got good news. I still don't have my lawnmower fixed. I worked on it yesterday and it still hadn't got it going. I borrowed one and I got my yard mowed, so it doesn't look like chaos. Aren't you glad? Yay! So my yard was unattended for several weeks, and it looked chaotic. Weeds that I didn't even know were there shot up and got that tall. And it was a job. It was a 2-day job to get that back to a place where it wasn't chaotic looking. So this is the law, that things left unattended tend towards chaos. And this is where a lot of Christians are, because they just allow their lives to float along, and they don't attend to the things that they need to attend to. They don't attend to their heart. They don't take things by. They just kind of let things come to them. They kind of just let things happen. You're not in control of your spiritual life. You just kind of leave it unattended. You don't read. You don't study. You don't meditate. You get lax in some areas of your spiritual life. And your life starts going towards chaos. Heard somebody say the other day, hadn't been at church in a while, and they said, "Oh, you know, I don't need to go to church. Everything's going good right now." Guess which way their life's going to go? That whole attitude is a wrong attitude. I don't use God. Let's not use God. Well, everything's going good. I don't need to pray. I don't need to study. I don't need that because everything's going well. Well, that is a wrong attitude that's going to lead you towards chaos. In other words, you're being very selfish. There's more to being a part of God's kingdom than about me doing well. What about other people that might need the gifts that God has put in my life? If I'm an encourager, there's people who need to be encouraged. So it's not all about me, and it's not all about my needs and me doing well. So I don't need it because I'm doing well. Hooey on youy, but I'm doing well, so I don't need it. So this is kind of things left unattended. They tend towards chaos. And if you got chaos in your life, you need to look at some stuff. You need to examine some things. And make sure that you're paying attention to the things that you need to pay attention to. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read a verse to you. I love this. I got criticized one time by an ex-board member who is ex-board member and no longer a member of our church. I didn't kick him out. But he criticized me because I preached on this all the time. Well, I say all the time. Two or three times a year, I would preach on this verse of Scripture. This verse of Scripture has been one of the changing points of my life. Proverbs 4:20. If you've been around here very long at all, you've heard this dozens and dozens of times. But it's still a good verse. Dear friend, I'm reading from the Message Bible. Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ear to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live. They live body and soul. They're bursting with health. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. In fact, it says, out of the heart are the life springs of life. The well springs of life. Your whole life is determined by what's in your heart. And you have to attend to your heart. If you don't attend to your heart, if you don't guard your heart, things in your life tend towards chaos. So when things get chaotic, start looking for something that's unattended. That's the law of entropy. Another law that we looked at was the law of cause and effect. We talk about this a whole lot. Everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens by accident. Everything happens for a reason, good or bad. Somebody's cell phone is on. Good or bad, things happen for a reason. Nature is neutral. It doesn't favor one person over another. In fact, the Bible even says that God is not a respecter of person. So the law of seed time and harvest, or the law of cause and effect, is very much a part of this law or formation of faith that we're talking about. In other words, what we're trying to get you to see is that you have to take charge of your life. You have to take charge of your spiritual life. If you do not take charge and are diligent with your spiritual life, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be chaos, and things are going to happen, and it's going to be cause and effect. Then there's the law of hysteresis that we talked about. And this says that the tendency of material to revert back to its original shape, once the pressure changing, it is removed. You ever gone on a diet? You eat right, and you get halfway to your goal, and then you say, okay, I'm going to take a break. I mean, you're diligent, you're doing the right things, you're watching over things, and you're eating, and then you take a break or you get off of it, and guess what happens to your body? It kind of reverts back to your old habits, to where you were. And they say that most people who go on diets regain all of their weight plus weight. I can testify to that. I've gained and lost 30 pounds, I can't tell you how many times. Probably, there would be two of me. I've probably lost a whole me in my lifetime. And I think most of us are there. So, when we quit doing the things that we know that we should be doing, like prayer, meditation, studying our Word, being faithful to attending church and being involved and doing all of those things, our tendency is to revert back to old lifestyles. And things continue to just reoccur in our lives. Faith life is a very proactive way of living. The next one is called the law of motion. Anything in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by an opposite and equal force. If your life is going in a negative direction, unless you counteract that with a stronger law, the law of faith, your life will continue in that direction. I hear people say quite often, well, you know, I'm praying about that, and if God wants that to happen, it'll happen. No. God has given us the responsibility in our life to enact certain things to counteract the negative things in our lives. The faith life is a very positive life. The first week we talked about the law of capacity, and this is where we're getting into the foundation of faith itself, the law of capacity. And it says a person can only receive from God in direct correlation to his capacity to receive from God. Remember, we got the bowls up here and we talked about mining for gold, and we had this little bitty communion cup, and then we had a bigger cup, and we said, which one of these has the greatest capacity? Which one do you want to mine gold with? We got a vein of pure gold. Do you want the communion cup or do you want the big one? I want the big one, don't you? Why? Because this one has greater capacity than this one. Now, you can't change inanimate objects, but you can change the human heart. The human heart has different capacities to receive from God. The parable of the sower. The sower sows the word, and he talks about the different kinds of ground that it's sowed on. Every one of those grounds has a different capacity to receive from God. If your bucket, if your heart is half full of distraction with other things, it could be a career, it could be anything that gets between you and God, fills your life up with sand, and it decreases your capacity to receive from God. Let me tell you about something about God. He does not want to be number two. He wants to be number one. This is the quiet service. I forgot, this is the quiet bunch. God wants to be number one in your life, okay? When He's number two, guess what? Your heart is distracted. You're full of sand. It decreases your capacity to receive from God. If we're going to receive from God the way that we need to receive from God, then guess what? We got to get the sand out of our lives. We have to increase our capacity to receive. I made this statement weeks ago. We're going to continue to say it. That your potential is released in your character, not in your knowledge. Your character is your ceiling for the potential that you have. Your character is the potential that you have to receive from God. We can do something about our character. We can raise our character. We can deal with the things in our life that hinder us so that we can produce the kind of character that God can take and do miraculous things with. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to do miraculous things in you and through you, where other people are concerned. Wouldn't it be great to be able to speak into people's lives and see chains fall off of people's lives? Wouldn't it be able to have to walk in such wisdom of God that you could see someone and you could speak a word in their life and it would be the key that God would use to turn that life around? He cannot do that with a distracted heart. It has to be one that's in tune with Him. Because you can only receive from God to the capacity of your ability to receive. The second one that we talked about was the law of control. And the law of control says people are positive in life to the extent that they are in control of their lives. This is a big one. You're supposed to be in control of your life. You say, well, I thought God is. But God desires to do for you what He can do through you. A lot of people have the lottery mentality. They're waiting for something out here to happen so that they can be blessed, but they're not going to be a part of it. They just won't. It's the mailbox. We're going to go to the mailbox and see what God brings today. Or we're going to open our Bibles and, God, I want You to speak to me today. Speak to me today, Lord. I don't have time to get in the Word today, but speak to me. Oh, that's upside down. And we have that kind of mentality. That kind of person does not have control of their life. They're not positive because they're not in control of their life. And we're only positive to the degree that we are in control of our lives. God wants you to be in control. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. And surrender to Him gives you back control of your life. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, what was the relationship there? God wanted to be in relationship with Adam, and through their fellowship and through their relationship, Adam was going to exercise dominion over all of the creation of God. Well, God still wants that. We're still supposed to reign in life as kings and priests unto God. But you cannot do that. You cannot release authority if you can't even control yourself. If you can't control your blab mouth, can we just get down where it's at? If you can't control your gossipy tongue, if there's areas of your life that you're not in control, you're not going to be positive. You're not going to be influential. Because how can you release authority when you don't even have authority over yourself? That affects your faith. That affects your ability for God to flow through you and use you. Now today we're going to talk about the law of belief. And the law of belief says what you believe in your heart with confidence becomes your reality. Can I say this? You are today what you believe in your heart. Right now, you are today what you believe about yourself in your heart. If you believe you're no good, guess what you manifest? If you believe you're a loser, guess what you manifest? If you believe you're an addict, guess what you manifest? If you believe that you're nobody, guess what you manifest? If you believe that you're somebody, guess what you manifest? This is one of the laws of faith. What you believe in your heart with confidence becomes your reality because you act out the reality that's in your heart. Do you think we might need to change some things in our lives? If you don't like where you are, change some things. But it starts, as the song we sang a while ago, from the inside out. See, religion changes things from the outside in. We you know, there's a movement called holiness, and I'm not against holiness. But what it has morphed into is that holiness is judged by the outward appearance. It didn't start out that way, but it's judged by the outward appearance. There is a standard that is considered to be holy. I know some holy women. I mean, they don't wear this, and they don't wear that, and they don't cut their hair. They don't put on makeup, and they don't wear breeches. They wear long skirts. And some of them have got tongues long enough to sit in the living room and lick a spoon in the kitchen. That's not holy, folks. That's external. Now, I know some people who are in the holiness movement that are holy people. Okay? But I'm just saying that it's from the inside out. Well, I'm just going to change my appearance. That won't do it. What you are out here is a reflection of what you believe in here. And if you don't like what you see out here, then you need to start changing what's going on in here. And God has given us the mechanism to do that, and it's called His Word. And it's not a negative, it's a positive. You can change out here if you'll change in here. Because God's all about in here. You know, there's some things that you can't do about the external. I had a fella. I don't know. He may be here today. I don't know. But it's okay. He came to visit me and interested in our church. He wanted to check it out. He said, but I need to show you something. He pulled up his pants leg. Or was his sleeve. One. We'll say sleeve. Pulled up his sleeve. And there was a tattoo there. And it was a cross. And it said Jesus on it. He says, now, am I going to be criticized for that? I said, dude, have I got a story for you? You need to meet Tattoo. I mean, sometimes you can't change what's out here, like tattoos. And I'm not saying tattoos are bad. I have no opinion about tattoos, okay? But if you got a dirty word on your arm that you had tattooed, you might not be able to change that. But that has nothing to do with what's in here. A lot of times, we judge things out here, and we think we see their heart. Sometimes, there's nothing you can do about out here. Now, I understand that what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in here. I'm not talking about what's on your body. Because you can fool people, and a lot of people will look at Glenn, and they'll say, oh, he can't be of God. He's got the sweetest spirit of anybody in this church. He is a sweetheart. He's got on his neck 6'6", 5½. That's probably not good. That's almost the Antichrist. But that's probably not good. But he got that before he got saved. And that's a part of his testimony of who he was. But we want to judge people by the external when God looks at the heart. And if you see what comes out of his life and out of his mouth, you're going to know that he's a true brother in the Lord. But religion does it out here. What God is interested in is what's in here. Because what's in here will change what comes out of here. Okay? And that's what this law of belief is all about. What you believe in your heart with confidence becomes your reality. You act out the program that's in your heart. And can I be honest with you? Us being fallen creatures, we've been redeemed, I know, but we have been exposed to sin. We've got a lot of crud on the inside of us that comes out. And God's not mad at you for that. But He's given you the mechanism called His Word where you can change the program that drives your life. And you don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live in negativity. You can be the person that God wants you to be. But you're going to have to do it His way and not your way. Your way says, okay, I'm going to have an appearance of this. But on the inside, we're full of dead men's bones. Jesus said that to some religious people. He says, you know what? On the outside, you're like a whited sepulcher, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You can make a grave look good, but if you dig it up, it's full of death, isn't it? Life comes from the inside, and it comes to the outside. And that's what Christianity is all about, from the inside out. Now, I want to read these verses of Scripture again, and we're going to close. See, you either will manifest abundance or scarcity, but it has to do with your heart, what you believe about yourself. Proverbs 4:20. Let's read this whole thing again. Dear friend, listen well to my words. This is God talking to us. He's saying, pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to my words. Tune your ear to my voice. Stop and listen. Consider what I'm saying. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Begin to see yourself as God sees you. Some of you don't know how God sees you. You know what? When you mess up, you feel really bad. And you're down on yourself and you think, God must really hate me. He doesn't. He wants to forgive you. If God was a fault finder, He could find fault with all of us. Every one of us, He can find fault with. And that's not what He's interested in doing. Now, if you live an unrepentant lifestyle your whole life, when you stand before God, yeah, that's called the day of judgment. But we're living in a day of grace right now. God's not interested in judging you. He's interested in forgiving you, setting you free, and using you for His glory. You just need to cooperate with that. He says, so keep my message in plain view at all times. Keep it in front of you. Keep it in your vision of what God says about it. Concentrate. Learn it by what? Heart. Don't just put it in your head and think, I know that. How many times have you heard a pastor say or a preacher say, turn in your Bible to John 3:16. I already know that. I've heard that. You know what you're doing? You're starting to turn off. What we need to be saying when we hear a familiar verse of Scripture, okay, Lord, show me something that I haven't seen in that verse of Scripture. Because there's not a verse in the Bible that you fully understand. I guarantee you. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. You've always got to be guarding what you allow in your eye gates and ear gates. You got to guard what comes in there, because what comes in there affects this. This will produce whatever you put in it. If you put garbage in, garbage comes out. If you put sin in, sin will come out. If you'll put the Word of God in, life will come out of you. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. Okay. Cool. Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face reveals face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Let's read that again. As in water, face reveals face. What do you see when you look in the water? You see the reflection of your face. So a man's heart reveals the man. If you want to see what the man is, look at his heart. Outside, inside. Outside, inside. They're the same. You can try to put on an act, but you know what? Your mouth will give you away eventually. You can try to be righteous and holy, but if there's evil in there, guess what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We all have blab mouth disease. We all say what's in our heart. You get around me, you know what I'm going to talk about for too long? What am I going to talk about for? What? Razorbacks? Grandchildren? Things that I love. That's the things I'm going to talk about. Our relationship with God. You know, the church. I talk about this church all the time. I talk about you all the time. Why? Because you're important to me. You're important to me. I talk about it. I live it. I dream it. This is where my passion's at. And that's what I talk about. I'll talk to you about Ethan and Jackson quick. And Randa Joe, too. Till they name that baby, it's Randa Joe. I want everybody to know that. Randa Joe until Miranda comes up with a name. So, anyway, so I talk about the things that I love. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart in abundance is what comes out your mouth. Let me tell you a good way to judge yourself. Listen to what you're saying. Do you journal? Read your journal. Do you blog? Read your blog. You ought to get on Facebook. Oh my gosh. If you're a Facebooker, read your own Facebook and see what you're saying. Well, I'm just depressed today. This whole world's crappy. Listen to yourself. Listen to what's coming out of you. If you don't like it, change it. From the inside out. Put the Word of God on the inside of you, because it will change out here. This is the only way that real lasting change happens, from the inside out. This is the law of belief, because you do manifest what's in here. Third John, well, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And then 3 John 2, he says, "I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's your inward man. As your inward man prospers, guess what? You prosper out here. If you're not prospering out here, it's because you're not prospering in here. If you get this right, this will change. You know what I read? I read leadership books. I read church growth books. You know why? Because I want to learn how to do things. I want to prosper in here so that we can prosper out here. I want to be a better leader. I don't think I'm a great leader. I need to be a great leader. I have to work on that in here before it manifests out here. If you don't like where you are in your life and what's going on, begin to change what's in here. It's called the formation of faith. Faith is more than just saying words. The faith movement, you know, you got to confess it. Well, that's part of it. But listen, it changes the inside. You can say words that mean nothing. It's when you get them on the inside and they start meaning something, that they start changing out here. Beloved, I pray that above all things, that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for the formation of our faith. Thank you, Lord, that you're guiding us and leading us in this. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to hearts and lives. That you take what I've said today and just speak one thing into their heart that'll make a difference. And I thank you for it, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed. Anything with God that's eternal begins with a relationship with God. Natural faith will produce natural things. But for it to be eternal, it has to come out of a relationship with God. You can do nothing of eternal value outside of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We call it being saved or born again. Maybe you're here today and you've not crossed the line of faith. You've never invited Jesus into your heart and life. And you need a relationship with God today. We're going to pray a prayer in just a minute. We don't ask people to come to the front. We don't want to embarrass people. We don't try to make people uncomfortable. But you do have to take a step of faith. And if you're here today and you know that you need a relationship with God, maybe you've had one and fallen away, or either you've never had one and need to start one today. A fresh start is what we call it. It's not an end, it's a start. You never end. This is where you begin. And it's a constant growing thing that happens. But if you're here today and you need a relationship with God, slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. Just stick it up and down. One. Anybody else? Two. Anyone else? All right. We're going to pray a prayer. And I want everybody together to pray this out loud. And I want you to mean it from your heart of hearts. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you love me. I don't deserve it, but you chose to love me. Lord God, today, I need a fresh start. I need a relationship with you. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me new. I want a fresh start now. And I thank you for coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here's the second thing I need you to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, Kevin will be in the foyer after the service. We've got an easy to read Bible that we would love to give to you. And he'll tell you about the second step that you need to take. Not anything that'll embarrass you, but it'll help you grow. When we dismiss the service, that's what we're going to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, they'll be out there in the foyer. I want to ask my prayer team to come at this time, because I know that there may be people here today who have prayer needs. So if you're on our prayer team, would you come at this time? If you have any kind of prayer request or anything that you need to pray about, we want you to come at this time, and these will be glad to pray with you. And then Joe will close the service. If you need to slip out, go ahead and do that quietly. But if you need prayer or will stay and be in a prayerful attitude, we'll let you come right now. So would you come?